This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Vanessa Hua writes a regular column for the San Francisco Chronicle. She's been a foreign correspondent in Asia and Latin America, and stories about immigrants and their children are featured in her debut story collection, Deceit and Other Possibilities. Her newest book is A River of Stars. She talked with Insight producer Cody Drabble in June of 2017. And at that time, one of her stories was slated to be performed at Stories on Stage Sacramento. Cody asked Vanessa about the inspiration behind the collection.
I wrote these stories over a period of a decade, and I wrote them story by story. I actually didn't set out with a theme in mind. It was only when I had a stack of pages and looked back over the stories that I began to see that this was a recurring preoccupation of my characters. You know, there's this whole notion that deceit has a negative connotation and possibility has a positive one. What if deceit in the mind of the character is the only way that they can gain that possibility that they need for themselves or their family, even if in the end they are deluding themselves?
The title is Deceit and Other Possibilities, and it's immediately clear at the beginning of each story why Deceit is the collection title. What does the other possibilities mean to you? How did that come up?
I think since so many of the stories are about children or the children of immigrants, it's this whole notion of the American dream and what the possibilities that America holds and the possibilities that your family sets out for you and the own path that you have to chart for yourself. But actually, the title came about by accident. I was discussing it with my mother-in-law, who's a voracious reader, and I had suggested some titles. There was a story called The Responsibility of Deceit, and I also thought, oh, maybe it could be called Deceit and Other Stories, which is sort of a typical short story collection title. But when she repeated it back to me, she said, oh, I think I like Deceit and Other Possibilities. And I thought, oh, well, that's not what I said, but I like the sound of that.
Your parents immigrated to the Bay Area, and then you spent part of your career as a reporter abroad in China and South Korea and Burma and Panama and Ecuador. What did you learn about yourself as a writer and a reporter when you left the United States?
You know, it was interesting, for example, going to Panama. I didn't learn Spanish until I was an adult. And at first, like, I thought, oh man, these people are talking so quickly and it's so hot here. But how is that woman wearing a leather jacket? But then after 2 weeks there, I realized that I thought the weather had grown cooler, but it hadn't. I had just gotten used to it. And second, I began to understand a lot more simply because I'd spent time there. And it just really just made me realize at first, I might have seemed quiet, but that how people can have different personalities in different languages, especially depending on their level. So like just to try and understand someone, understand their backstory and how to understand them on their own terms and don't make assumptions about someone who doesn't, you know, speak your language the same way you do. It was such an amazing opportunity to be granted access into people's lives and their stories, and just that feeling of human connection that I think I strive for over and over again. I remember I was writing about microfinance in Burma, and there was this woman who'd sort of changed her family's life because she'd begun selling duck eggs and had then parlayed that into a little farm. And anyway, as we were walking back to the bus, she took my hand and we're just walking hand in hand in the countryside. And just that feeling of connection was amazing. And so, you know, that's what I always try to do with my fiction and nonfiction, to tell these untold stories, to shine a light into corners where people aren't necessarily looking.
Did you learn anything as a reporter or experience anything as a reporter that helped you understand your parents and why they decided to immigrate to the U.S.?
Well, it certainly actually made me understand the challenges they faced to go somewhere completely new and to try and figure things out and to be seen as different. And I wasn't even going to be staying permanently. I think it made me renewed my understanding about their courageousness or their ambition of any immigrant, actually, to come to another country, to leave behind friends and family and language and culture, to try to forge a new life here.
In your story, The Older the Ginger, the protagonist, Old Wu, he's in his 70s and he goes back to the village that he grew up in, and he hasn't seen it since he left for the United States in the 1940s. And everyone is treating him like royalty, but their motivations are not entirely selfless, and their motivations are just barely under the surface. Where did the inspiration for this story come from?
It's inspired by my reporting on both sides of the Pacific. I had an opportunity to go to the Pearl River Delta, which is west of Hong Kong, and where many of the earliest immigrants from China came. It was, you know, the province was the land of famines, floods, and bandits, and was also on near the coast. There was significant turmoil, and so if you had an opportunity, you left to find work. And that is still going on today, even. I'd go to villages that were completely hollowed out, the very young being cared for by the very old, by the grandparents, and anyone of working age would work in the cities, in factories, and of course, a very, very few would have a chance to come to the U.S. In Chinatown in San Francisco, I went to go interview an elderly gentleman. He lived in a studio. When I knocked, a beautiful young woman answered the door. And I thought, is this his nurse or his daughter? It was his wife that he had obtained on a trip home in his old age. That story really explores both that motivation to find a better life for yourself and your family, but also that wiliness of immigrants, that wiliness that maybe borders on some deception or self-interest as well.
So I want to be careful about spoilers with this story, but could you explain what the title of The Older the Ginger refers to?
There's a Chinese proverb that says, the older the ginger, the hotter the spice. And I've always interpreted it as a sort of sassy way of saying that, sure, I may be old, but I still have my bite. And in the story itself, it kind of becomes a flirtation between Old Wu and a younger woman.
I reached out to the actor who will be performing the reading of your story at Stories on Stage. Let's take a listen.
During his childhood, his family ate meat only once a year, during the Spring Festival. But this young girl had never known such want. Only China on the rise, and none of its turmoil. Turmoil that he had also largely escaped by moving to America. The stunted crops and starvation of the Great Leap Forward. The book burnings and beatings of the Cultural Revolution. Decades of strife and deprivation that his parents had spared him. He knocked again and leaned his weight against the door, locked. He searched for another exit, but didn't see another door, and the sole window was too small to squeeze through. He'd heard of brides abducted by the grooms, but never a kidnapped groom. His cousin must want to present his daughter to Old Wu to make her the first and most memorable candidate for marriage. And the green card that came along with the deal. In time, she could sponsor her parents, her siblings, their spouses, and their children to immigrate, a prize her father wouldn't let slip out of his fingers.
That was Vanessa Hua's story, The Older the Ginger, performed by actor Hawk Choa. The characters in both The Older the Ginger and Line Please, they're both living with this reputation that is partly earned, but also has grown with embellishment through retelling from the people back home. Relating this back to the title, do you consider that embellishment over time to be part of the deceit or part of the other possibilities?
I think sometimes the lies you tell yourself are also your goals. So you fake it until you make it, right? By putting the lie out there, maybe for these characters, it's their way of saying their pledge that they're going to achieve this someday.
In both stories, The Older the Ginger and Line Please, the protagonists are dealing with a sense of grief over losing a part of their identity. And it feels like they're holding on to that deceit because it replaces something that they lost, something that's helping them get by. Did you encounter that in your reporting? Is that something that is a common experience for immigrants in the United States?
Yes. I mean, I think immigrants, no matter what country they're from, or for that matter, the children of immigrants, that There is this sense of loss, even if you are headed to the promised land, of everything that you've left behind, even if the circumstances you've left have been terrible or complicated. And there's also a grief, I think, in being caught between two cultures, not being fully accepted in either place. It's that whole question of home, like where do you belong and finding your place in the world. Strangers in a strange land, navigating America.
Before I let you go, I do want to ask you about your new novel that's currently in the works. What is the status of the novel? And then we'll get into what inspired it.
It's called A River of Stars, and it is coming out in summer 2018. I'm very excited about it. So it's about a Chinese factory clerk who is sent by her married lover, who's also her boss, to the U.S. to give birth so that their child will get U.S. citizenship. It's at one of these maternity centers that you may have heard about. Wealthy Chinese will come to give birth, pick up the citizenship and passport, and then leave. But in her case, he betrays her. So she takes off in the night with a pregnant teenage stowaway. So I've been saying it's sort of like it's a pregnant Thelma and Louise.
So it sounds like an adventure story.
A bit, yeah. They do end up in San Francisco's Chinatown. And then there are parts of it set in Hong Kong and China as well. So I think it really reflects all my experience reporting the diaspora, you know, stretching from China to Chinatown.
What does it feel like to be at this moment? It's sort of like being 8.5 months pregnant, where the book is done, it's going through final edits, and it's not quite out in the world yet. How does that feel?
Even though I've been through it once, it's still exciting and scary all the same. Although, don't they say that subsequent births happen very quickly?
I've heard that. I don't know how true it is in practice.
Well, as with my first book baby, I hope my second book baby will just be happy and confident and out in the world.
That was Insight producer Cody Drabble talking with Vanessa Hua in June of 2017. They were talking about her debut story collection, Deceit and Other Possibilities. That collection is scheduled to be reissued in 2020 with additional new stories. And we'll link another interview with Vanessa about her novel, A River of Stars. This was from the Cap Radio Reads podcast series. There's more information at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.